the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, September the 12th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Hurricane Florence continues its dangerous trek towards the Carolinas. Also on the Wednesday rundown, Trump's EPA rolls back methane emission rules, and Ohio mines meet to examine the scope of gun violence. Topping our news, Hurricane Florence will lash the Carolinas and Virginia late Thursday and into Friday as an intense hurricane. The Weather Channel forecasts life-threatening storm surge, destructive winds, and potentially catastrophic inland rainfall, flooding as one of the strongest strikes on record for this part of the U.S. East Coast. The Weather Channel reports tropical storm watches have been issued further north from the border between North Carolina and Virginia. This includes Virginia Beach and Norfolk. On Tuesday, EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler announced the agency will roll back rules that limit emissions on methane, benzene, and other pollutants at oil and gas operations.
The proposal comes after the Trump administration recently rolled back rules limiting pollution at power plants and clean car standards. Colin Layden with the Environmental Defense Fund says the move would deal a blow to air quality for states, including Texas, that don't have comprehensive protections for methane pollution.
This proposal will allow additional methane emissions of at least 380,000 additional tons of methane. And the truth is that in Texas, the EPA rules are all that are really there. That's all that exists as protections for Texans and for the environment.
Layden notes that methane is more than 80 times more potent than CO2 in forcing climate change, and it's estimated that the gas is responsible for about a quarter of current global warming. The Western Energy Alliance, an industry group, praised the EPA announcement and said the move would boost energy production and create jobs by removing unnecessary red tape. I'm Eric Galatis.
A recent study in the journal Science showed that current oil and gas methane emissions are 60% higher than previous EPA reports. The 33rd International Coastal Cleanup is coming up this weekend, part of a global effort to keep trash out of the oceans.
Every year, an estimated 8 million metric tons of plastic waste alone flow into the oceans. Plastic never completely biodegrades. More than 800 species of animals suffer negative impacts getting tangled in larger pieces or ingesting microscopic particles as it crumbles over time. According to Janice Searles-Jones, CEO of Ocean Conservancy, last year's coastal cleanup drew almost 800,000 volunteers to coastlines, lakeshores, and riverbanks in virtually every state and more than 100 countries.
They collected more than 20 million pounds of trash, much of it plastic. And so what we're looking for this Saturday, September 15th, is something along that same scale.
There are dozens of cleanup sites in New York, from Long Island Sound to Lake Erie. Those wishing to help out can register and find nearby locations online at signuptocleanup.org. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And as the Trump administration reduces the number of refugees allowed into the U.S., folks in Idaho and businesses are signing a letter urging Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to preserve the state's resettlement programs. More from Eric Tigetoff.
In fiscal year 2016, Idaho accepted about 1,000 individuals. The number dropped to about 600 in 2017, and as this fiscal year winds down, the number is less than 350. Tara Wolfson, head of the Idaho Office for Refugees, says businesses in the state could benefit from more people coming into the state.
It's really important to note, with our state's unemployment rate of less than 3%, really businesses depend on labor force, and new people to the state also bring new workers.
Idaho Dairymen's Association is among the business interests that have signed on to this letter defending the state's resettlement programs and refugees, noting that 90% of jobs at dairies in the state are filled by foreign-born laborers. Dairy is about a seventh of the state's economy. The letter will be sent to Pompeo on Friday.
Wolfson says refugees have been successful at resettling. About 85% of refugee cases are closed within a year because individuals and families have gained self-sufficiency. And finally, Mary Sherman tells us while folks in Cincinnati still are reeling in the wake of last week's mass shooting, experts will gather today in Cleveland for a How to Reduce Gun Violence forum.
Voices from the State House, law enforcement, and research institutions will examine the scope of the problem, some of the causes, and possible solutions to reduce incidents of gun violence. Reporter Peter Krause with Cleveland.com will moderate, and he says the goal is to have a civil discourse on a polarizing issue.
Hopefully there'll be a meeting of the minds between those who are calling for some rather extensive changes in gun laws to those who cite the Second Amendment right to bear arms as a reason for not making gun ownership more difficult.
Director of the Begun Center for Violence Prevention Research and Education at Case Western, Daniel Flannery, will also be part of the discussion. He says gun violence is a major public health issue that's not just related to mass shootings.
There are way more people that die from gun violence in interpersonal disputes or accidental deaths or suicides with firearms than die from being a victim of a mass shooting.
This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gun Foundation.
According to state data, more than 14,000 Ohioans were victims of firearm-related crime in 2016. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.